Hi, my name is Anita Chavarin Rodriguez, and I decided to do a podcast-style audio project discussing three Harlem Renaissance-era filmmakers. The three filmmakers I decided to showcase are William D. Foster, Oscar Mashaw, and Zora Neale Hurston. Hope you enjoy. On today's episode of Harlem Renaissance Movers and Shakers, we'll be talking about the one and only William D. Foster. For those of you tuning in, if you're not familiar with Mr. Foster, you will be after today's episode. I chose to spotlight William D. Foster, who was better known as Bill Foster during his heyday. Bill Foster was a black film director in the years leading up to the Harlem Renaissance. Born in Chicago, Illinois, he had an active career as a sports writer for the Chicago Defender. The Defender went on to become the nation's most influential black weekly newspaper by the First World War. But during his time at the Defender, Foster took up the writing alias Julie Jones. His talents didn't just include filmmaking and writing, he was also a press agent for vaudeville stars such as Burt Williams and George Walker. Foster made connections with the theater world long before he ever tried his own hand in the business. It wasn't until 1910 that he founded his own film company and called it the Foster Photoplay Company. He is credited as being the first African American to found a film production company. His hopes were that the African American community would be able to portray themselves as they wanted to be seen instead of how someone else wanted to depict them. Foster wanted to break the stereotyping being seen in film at the time. The piece of work he is infamously known for is The Railroad Porter, which released in 1912. This film is credited with being the world's first film with an entirely black cast and director. William D. Foster paved the way for future black filmmakers by tackling stereotypes head-on. His films portrayed black people and black lifestyle created for a black audience. His work provided black romance, urban migration, social upheaval, racial violence, alcoholism, and color prejudice within the black community, which at the time, these social issues were being overlooked by Hollywood and other filmmakers from the era. A trademark in Foster films was a positive outlook on black culture and the African American community as a whole, and he worked relentlessly to correct the negative images prevalent in Hollywood productions at the time. He was active up until the year 1913, and although his photoplay company didn't see the success that he wanted it to, he really did open an entire new stage for the next generation of filmmakers who wanted to stray away from the stereotypes that were being offered at the time to black actors and film directors. He was the first really mover and shaker of this, standing up for your art, for wanting to do something else that not everybody thinks that you are capable of doing. So that is our little segment on William D. Foster today. Thank you so much for tuning in. See you next week. Welcome to another episode of Harlem Movers and Shakers. This week we'll be adding to our knowledge of black filmmakers from the era. On this episode, we'll be spotlighting none other than Oscar Mashaw. Like William D. Foster, Oscar Mashaw was a jack of many trades. He was an African-American author, film director, and an independent producer of more than 44 films. Mashaw has been regarded as the first major African-American feature filmmaker, as well as being described as the most successful African-American filmmaker of the first half of the 20th century. Having produced both silent films and sound films as the industry began to change the methods of filmmaking. Like William D. Foster, Oscar Mashaw was also an Illinois native. Deciding to concentrate on writing early on in his career, he wrote 7 novels, among them his first book titled The Conquest, The Story of a Negro Homesteader. Originally published anonymously for reasons unknown in 1913, The Homesteader's plot was largely based around Oscar's own life. The theme of this novel was about African Americans realizing their potential and succeeding in areas where they had not felt they could. This novel outlines the difference between city lifestyles and the life he chose to live as a lone Negro chasing the far west. One of the most prominent ideas in The Homesteader is his discussion on the culture of doers who want to accomplish and those who see themselves as victims of injustice and hopelessness, which given the time period were sentiments most of the colored population seemed to be grappling with. It wasn't until 1918 that his novel The Homesteader, attracted the attention of a man named George Johnson, who at the time was the manager of the Lincoln Motion Picture in Los Angeles. George Johnson offered to make The Homesteader into a feature film, but during negotiations and paperwork, Johnson and Michaud stopped seeing eye to eye. This is greatly due to the fact that Michaud wanted to be directly involved in the adaptation of his book, but Johnson resisted and he never ended up producing the film. But worry not, that didn't stop Oscar. Instead, he went on to found the Michaud Film and Book Company, with its first project being the production of The Homesteader as its feature film. This single act was what launched Oscar Michaud into a major career as a film producer and director. His films were known as blunt and thought-provoking regarding certain racial issues of that time. Prominent themes in Michaud's films were the relationships between black and whites, the challenges for blacks who were trying to achieve success in the larger society, and his films were used to oppose and discuss the racial injustices suffered by African Americans. Topics like lynching, mob violence, rape, job discrimination, and economic exploitation are depicted in his work and at the core of what moved such controversial films. His films are set to question the value system of both African American and white communities, and his controversial portrayal of these topics led to much deserved recognition and is now known as the Czar of Black Hollywood. I hope this tidbit adds to the knowledge of these black filmmakers we've been revisiting. Tune in next time for the third and final installment of this series. As always, thank you for listening. Welcome to the third and final installment of the Harlem Movers and Shakers. This third and final spot has been reserved for none other than Miss Zora Neale Hurston. Zora Neale Hurston is infamous for being a novelist during this period, but I'm here to shine the spotlight on her brief career as a filmmaker. According to an essay by Gloria Gibson, she refers to Zora Neale Hurston as the first African-American woman filmmaker. Give it up to girl power, right? Her film record, not as extensive as Oscar Michaud's, Nora produced Children's Games in 1928, Logging also in 1928, and Baptism in 1929. These films appear to be from her work as an anthropology student from her time at Barnard College. Along with having a hand in producing these films, Hurston was also a playwright. It was her prize-winning 1925 play titled Colorstruck that attracted the attention of members from the Harlem Renaissance. This project, along with some of her other dramatic works, led to a collaborative project with Langston Hughes himself, leading to the 1930 play Mulebone, which has been seen as Hurston reflecting on her concern with authenticity. Although Zora Neale Hurston made a career out of being a novelist and not a full-time filmmaker, she was among one of the first women to give it a go in this field. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this series as much as I have enjoyed making it, and with this brief visit into Miss Hurston, I sign off. Thank you for your time. Throughout my research and at the end of this project, I learned a lot about these three specific filmmakers who in their own ways paved the way for future filmmakers of color. Breaking through stereotypes and gender roles, it was super interesting to learn how they took controversial topics they saw in their own communities and decided to incorporate that into their films. It has been astounding to learn about the Harlem Renaissance movement, and it has been even cooler to see that with every person that you learn about, you get to see a different layer and a different side to the movement as a whole. I've had a great semester and a great experience with the AFAS 377 class, and thank you, Dr. Carter, for making this course so engaging and so much fun to learn about history.